for a lot of the men that come through our workshop, they can bring their same addiction energy to their teams, to the game. And, you know, one of the things I would say is if your relationship with sport is actually hurting your relationship with people, then it's probably not a healthy relationship. If you're over-focused on the game, if you're spending too much time on the game, if you have more passion for a game than you do for your own family, that's probably an indication that something is out of balance there. And I don't say that in a shaming way. We all find things that, you know, are meaningful for us that we all can use to cope. But it may be important in a man's recovery to kind of take a step back and ask, what has been the role of sports in my life?
Welcome to the Faithful and True podcast. I'm Randy Everett, your co-host, here today with Dr. Greg Miller. Greg, great to see you as always.
Always good to be here.
And our last podcast went so well. There was such a demand for Jim Farm, the clinical director at Faithful and True, to rejoin us that we paid the premium price, and he's here with us again today. And this is a subject that's kind of right up Jim and my alley.
I'm catering to the two of you.
We have reputations for being kind of sports fanatics.
That's right.
And so we're going to talk today about how it's that time of year right now where March Madness is about to begin. Technically, the Big Ten tournament first and then March Madness. And how March Madness can have effect on men who are in recovery.
Absolutely. Well, and in general, we're going to be talking about sports. And we have often joked about the fact that sports is not necessarily my forte. It's something I know some things about, but not much. And it's not really been a passion of mine. But one of the things I know in working with men is that there's a lot of meanings, messages, associations with sports and sports teams. There are things that can connect us from the past. And so we're going to be talking about what does it look like to be a committed, devoted, even passionate sports fan and be in recovery. I often say wise men love sports. And so the key is we're relating to the games, to the players, to the experience from that wise adult part of us. And then what does it look like to engage sports from that survivor part of us as a coping strategy, as a way to disassociate? And to me, March Madness is a great place to start. I often say that for me, sports is all about relationships. So my teams, the brackets I do, always have something to do with the people in my life. So there are certain teams I pick because I know somebody went there, or I know somebody who is going there currently, or someone I know is their team. And so I never do well in the March Madness bracket things, because I choose out of loyalty, not out of strategy.
Yeah.
But I do want to talk about what does it look like for us to engage this part of our life from a healthy, wise adult place?
Yeah. I was kind of anxious, actually, when you brought up the sports thing. I'm like, Greg's going to probably have to do an intervention with me and Randy right here on the podcast.
We're suspecting.
Y'all are the poster children for what not to do.
Here's the live intervention.
No, that's not the case. But I would say that for a lot of the men that come through our workshop, they can bring their same addiction energy to their teams, to the game. And, you know, one of the things I would say is if your relationship with sport is actually hurting your relationship with people, then it's probably not a healthy relationship. If you're over-focused on the game, if you're spending too much time on the game, if you have more passion for a game than you do for your own family, that's probably an indication that something is out of balance there. And I don't say that in a shaming way. We all find things that, you know, are meaningful for us that we all can use to cope. But it may be important in a man's recovery to kind of take a step back and ask, what has been the role of sports in my life?
Yeah. Well, for a lot of guys, I mean, you know, for their high school, even junior high years, you know, especially if they're pretty good athletes, they got a lot of their needs met through sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got a lot of attention, a lot of affirmation, a lot of those things that were met, and especially pretty impactful if you came from families that weren't so much of that in terms of those emotional needs. So then, you know, you take that right into your adulthood, but you don't really have a lot of the avenues maybe that were there ahead of time.
Right.
I haven't talked about a client I had years ago, probably in 2015. He was here, dealt with a sex addiction, and I didn't see him for like 6 months, and he comes back. I thought Arnold Schwarzenegger was walking in the room. I'm like, this dude's huge. Like, what happened to him? And I go, what are you doing? I think I actually said to him, have you been working out with Arnold or what?
Mm-hmm.
You know? He goes, well, ever since we left, I started, you know, getting up and lifting weights at 4 in the morning. You know, he's been doing that 6 days a week, you know. And I go, how's it going with the family? He's like, well, not so well.
Right.
Yeah. You know? And really what he just did is he transferred
his addiction,
the sex addiction, into this exercise addiction.
Right.
And really, you know, when I got into his story, sports was such a huge thing for him that, you know, he just wanted a lot of that attention he thought he was going to get through kind of changing his physical body.
Yeah. Well, and I also think that for a lot of men, if you grew up in a home where sports was important, you know, where our family gathered around the TV on Saturday to watch our favorite college team, or part of our routine was on Sundays, we would watch our NFL team, or we had a loyal NBA team or an NHL team. There's this association of sports equals family. And if there wasn't a lot of other stuff that your family did together, if there wasn't a big sense of connection, then what happens is you can gather around the TV or attend a game and really feel connected. The reality, though, is you're not connected to each other. You're connected to the game. But because you're all connected to the same game, it feels like there's an intimacy between the family. And so we just want to recognize that for a lot of guys, this sports piece is very complex. You know, I know that in some families, if things are not going well, maybe there's economic issues, or maybe there's challenges in a relationship, maybe there's a divorce that's occurring. Well, that child finds sports and finds a game, a player, a team that they love. And now a lot of their desire for relational connection or an escape from what is difficult goes into their team.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes, you know, if it's not an actuality, it can be a fantasy. And that's one of the exercises we do here. And Mark introduced that a while back of actually engaging your sports fantasy. What does that say about, you know, what you're needing?
Right. And I would say, I think this is true for men and women. I can only speak to boys because I had two sons. But one of the things that I observed was that sports was the currency of the relationship when you're a boy. It was playing in the neighborhood, playing street hockey or baseball or whatever game it was of the day. And if you could play, then you were included. If you had some skill, and as a dad, I could observe how some of the boys in the neighborhood all gathered and went out and played. Others eventually either did not include themselves or were not included because they weren't as successful. And so it makes perfect sense that for a lot of men, when they think of sports, they think of their teams, they think of relationships, they think of connection. Mm-hmm. And so it may not have been deep, intimate connection. And yet if you're lonely and isolated, any connection is better than no connection. So that sense of I'm a part of something, I'm being included, I think is huge for a lot of men.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, we hear that quite a bit, that, you know, a lot of the memories were, you know, on the bus to the games or in the locker room, messing around, joking around, and those types of things. And those are some of my actually, you know, most positive memories of high school, is being with other guys and those events.
Right.
You know, I think it also can impact how you see yourself. I remember when I was in seventh grade, you know, for football, you had, I think it was 135 pounds. You got to be on the heavyweight team if you're 135. And if you weren't 135, then you go to the lightweight team. Well, my perspective was, if you're on the lightweight team, you're on the bad team.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're on the lightweight team.
You're on the lightweight.
Yeah.
There's something in the name.
Yeah. So I have an identical twin brother. So he hits it at a 135. So he goes to the heavyweight team. And most of my friends, and in my mind, most of the good guys are over there. And I'm a 128. And quite frankly, I think I was better than most of the guys in the heavyweight team. And the coach was like, you're going to the lightweight team, you're only 128. And I'm begging the guy. I'm like, my brother's over there. You know, I'm not gonna play on this team. And I go, can I have a week to get up to 135? I kid you not. So I eat for the whole next 7 days.
And 20 candy bars.
But not only that, we talked about lying last time. I stuck my pockets full of coins.
Mm-hmm.
I hit a 135 exactly, and I bet you within 24 hours I was back down to a 128.
Yeah. Well, know? And it is that idea of my value, my identity. comes from my ability to play sports. And, you know, we all know that you talked about the heavy team, the light team. There's the A team and the B team. And I work with a lot of men, and for them, sports represents some pain of not being included, of not being a part of the best team.
I didn't make the cut.
I remember being in junior high and witnessing how in junior high, a lot of the guys were about the same size. And so you could be the star on the junior high football team. But there's something that happened between that eighth grade and that ninth grade year for some of the guys. And so they grew, they got bigger, they got more powerful. And so they became the stars of the freshman team. And there were a lot of guys who were the stars in the eighth grade team, but they didn't grow in the same way. And so they couldn't make that transition. Mm-hmm. And I, even as a junior high boy, I thought, wow, that must be really hard to be the star one year and then not even be included the next year. Mm-hmm. And so I also want to acknowledge that for a lot of men, either because of the way that they experienced it or their limitations, there's a lot of pain associated with sports. And so maybe you're trying to kind of, you know, we talk about the role of fantasy. We replay old pain trying to come out with new outcome. And so maybe you're over-focused in sports because it rescues you from that pain you felt in not being successful in the games that you were playing yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, nowadays, I mean, we can get in our own activities of sports, but then we get so attached to teams too that, mm-hmm. you know, we might lose track of, you know, I mean, we see this all the time, you know, we follow the Vikings right. and we hear people ripping on players, you know, because they had a bad game. And, you know, you think about, you know, you kind of know about them a little bit that they're, you know, good people, but they're getting ripped to shreds in the media or by other people.
And then you start to take it personally.
Yeah. And then you're getting upset because, yeah. you know, you're the person you're a fan of is getting ripped because you had a bad game. And so once again, it's about that performance.
Right. Well, yeah. and so one of the things that we're looking out for is that over-identification where I begin to believe I am my team. I am this player. I am this record. And so if my team has a great record, then this is good for me. Or if my team is having a difficult season, then somehow that is about me and it influences or impacts how I see myself or how I experience life. There's this thing that we often talk about healthy detachment, where I'm a part of something and yet I can also be separate from it. Mm-hmm. So whatever's going on with my team is not me. I can enjoy the game. I can observe the game. But my life is not significantly changed by the outcome of this game.
I can't relate to that.
Randy and Aaron, what are you talking about here, Greg?
He's obvious.
I have no idea.
Mondays are not good if the Vikings lose.
Obviously. He's not a sports person.
Yeah. Well, and I do think that there is a lot of truth in that. So let's go back to March Madness.
Yeah.
So part of the deal is all these teams make it. So that's fun. I actually like watching the tournaments before the brackets are decided, see how everybody does. I like to see if the teams I have some association with make it. I can do my little brackets and feel good about that. And so there is something fun, and it's about connection. It connects me to the person that goes to that place. I think of them. I maybe text them and say, oh, I hope Iowa State does well, you know, and I'm sorry that they didn't do well. I think of Iowa State because of Deb Blazer. And so I don't have a big affection for Iowa State. I'm sure they're good people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have big affection for Deb Blazer. So her affection is my affection.
Yeah. She doesn't play anymore.
No, she doesn't. You know. But I have that connection.
But I've made this observation for a long time. When you meet people, some people have kind of a disdain for sports. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I don't get into sports. I don't get that. Yeah. And I think they're missing out on one of the joyful components of life. Because as a sports fan, there is an adrenaline rush when your team is playing well. I mean, I don't even have, part of March Madness is watching two teams that you really don't know, but I usually go into it pulling for the underdog.
Right.
And inevitably there are upsets in the tournament and I kind of get a rush watching that underdog, yeah. you know, beat the heralded team, you know yeah. what I mean? So I've always found a positive aspect to being a sports fan.
Yeah.
It's a great way to fill yourself with positivity. I mean, right. it's just a positive component And I'm also a very competitive person. And I think that being a sports fan is part of that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm competitive in almost everything that I do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think the important thing is I can enjoy this experience. I can watch this game, and it is not my reality. So I can watch a game for 2 hours. I can have fun. I can invest in it. And then I have the ability to turn the TV off and leave the game there. I think where it creates chaos and disruption is for those people who are so invested in the game that they have difficulty leaving the game behind and entering into the rest of their life. We all have coping strategies. We all have ways that we get temporary relief from the stress and the anxiety and the difficulty of life. And sports can be one of those. The key, though, is when the game is over, I reinvest in my life and I include my life in it. My family gathers around. We root for the same people, but I'm connected to the people watching the game, not just the game. One other thing I want to identify is for a lot of people, what is now happening is gambling is becoming a part of the sporting experience. Yeah. I was having a conversation with our sons and our daughter-in-law and our son's girlfriend, and they were commenting on how available now gambling is, mm-hmm. that it's in every website. It's every click is available. It's on your phone. It's the commercials now are primarily about gambling. And for someone who struggles with some addiction energy, some of the same adrenaline and rush of pornography is also associated with gambling.
Yep.
And it's the same device. It's the same clicking. And so one of the things that is always a caution is if I have a tendency towards addiction and coping strategies, that I need to enter into some places knowing that I have a greater vulnerability and I need to create safety. And I know that there's a lot of research that talks about sexual addiction and gambling addiction because they are both behavioral addictions, mm-hmm. and they're both a manipulation of the neurochemistry in an attempt to engage a fantasy. And so I would say if you are watching and what has happened for you is sports and gambling have now really intersected and you're seeing that gambling is becoming a destructive pattern in the same way that sexual acting out was, mm-hmm. you're going to need the same sort of support. You're going to need GA, Gambling mm-hmm. Anonymous, in the same way that you may need SA, Sex Addiction, a Sexaholics Anonymous, to get the support that you need because the principles of recovery are the same. Mm-hmm. And if I'm using something to exit my reality and there are significant consequences to that, that's something I need to pay attention to.
Yeah. You make a good point is, you know, anything in essence can become addictive if it, you know, is activating that dopamine pathway in the mm-hmm. brain and we abuse it. And so that's what we call behavioral addictions or process addictions. So it can be exercise, it can be eating, it can be gambling. All those are considered process addictions where it's our own neurochemistry. Mm-hmm. And so exactly, it's that, you know, I think we did a podcast maybe last summer about, you know, where's that line between, you know, I'm enjoying something and now it becomes a problem or an addiction. And I think at the time we had talked about, it's really about the intentionality about how I go about that.
Right.
Am I reactive or am I intentional with that activity?
Right. When why am I trying to get from it? So if I'm trying to get my value, my identity, and my safety from an experience, then it's crossing over into being something destructive or not helpful because a sporting event, a game, can never give me value, identity, or safety. That's going to come from who God is and who God created me to be. So if I'm investing in a team, if I like wearing the jersey, if I like being a part of something, then that can be a very healthy part of my life. If, you know, and again, what I would say is if my experience of sports moves me towards more intimate community, then that's a great thing. Back to March Madness. One of the things that I associate with it is a lot of times it's around spring break. Yeah. And so there were many times that if the boys were at college, they would be home around then. Or even if they were doing something else, we might be together for the tournament. And so part of the fun was watching the games or following the scores, connecting. One of the associations I have that I was mentioning to Randy is for years, the men's March workshop was the weekend of the first brackets of the March Madness. Right. And so it was always an association that I had of being at the March workshop and watching the scores. And for those of you who knew Mark Laser, know that Mark loves sports. And he really was someone who introduced it and tried to educate me to some success. But I have so many memories of being at the men's workshop in March, going home, being with Mark and Deb, watching the replays or watching a game. Mark was famous for recording a game and not wanting anybody to
tell him what happened.
You know, whatever his team was that was playing, some game would be recorded. And so those are so powerful, positive memories for me. Yeah. So I love March Madness because it connects me to people. It connects me to experiences. I think of friends. I think of families. And that, I think, is when sports is at its best, when it is relational. The thing to pay attention to is if my experience of sports sends me into isolation. I watch it by myself. I watch it for hours. It moves me away from community. It moves me away from reality. That's when it's going to become more destructive. Mm-hmm. And it's not watching sports. It's what part of me is watching sports. Is the wise man part of me watching sports, or is the survivor man part of me watching sports? One other layer to this is little boys like sports. Yeah. And so sometimes when we're watching a game, either on TV or live, this little boy part of us gets activated. And that can actually be a fun part of the experience. Yeah. When the wise man part of us is able to take the little boy part of us to a game and watch that together, I think that that can be very meaningful.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's one of the draws, because I'm a Vikings fan, as you are, Randy's, mm-hmm. but my dad always used to take us to Mankato. The Vikings used to
spring training.
And those are the days when you could actually just walk up to a player. Now you have to get a ticket to get an autograph, but you could literally walk up to a guy and he would just sign the autograph. Those are the things I kind of think about when I watch the Vikings, is those kind of early experiences of those connections with dad and my brothers and so forth.
I work with several men that there is, like you're saying, there's some sort of connection to the Super Bowl win or this particular Stanley Cup series where it's connecting me to the last year I had with my dad. You know, we would watch the games. And so now when I see the Vikings or whoever my team is, I connect it with my family. Yeah. I connect it to a memory I have with my dad. And I think that that can be a very meaningful thing.
Oh, it's a strong bond, can be,
right,
for fathers and sons. I mean, Jim has three, I have two, but my son and I are just, you know, avid fans. Mm-hmm. Timberwolves, Vikings, Gophers, you know, all of our regional teams. And that's a special relationship that I just cherish that we have that, mm-hmm. yeah. you know?
I also want to do a shout out for daughters and women who are involved in sports.
Yeah.
You mentioned that the NCAA Big Ten Women's Championship is in Minnesota right now.
Yeah.
For a lot of men, they connect to their daughters through sports, mm-hmm. and maybe they coach their team or they go with them. Or it's something that they do together. I know, you know, you see a lot of daughters wearing a jersey and their dad wearing a jersey, mm-hmm. Or couples that connect. Again, it has everything to do is this experience inviting other people to be with me, or in the way I experience, do I actually exclude people even if they're sitting right next to me?
Yeah.
I think there's a tragedy if my family is with me, but I'm so focused on the game, I'm not sharing the experience with them. In fact, I actually see them as a distraction.
Yeah.
You know, I need for them to be quiet so I can focus on the game. I think I'm missing out part of what the experience was intended to be.
Yeah.
So yes, you know, again, I'm not the best sports fan in the world. And Mark was incredibly patient in trying to explain things to me and rules. And one of the stories that I tell is, so years ago, the Cubs made it to the World Series. I happened to be here in Minnesota the night that the final game was being played. And if you are a Cubs fan, you're aware that it went into overtime. Well, I had too much anxiety. I mean, I know that for some people, sports brings them joy. It just creates anxiety for me.
I remember that game, man.
So when it went into
extra innings,
I almost said overtime. Yeah. When it went into extra innings, I was too anxious. So I went to bed. And I didn't watch the end of the game. And so Mark, being a good man, recorded it. And so I woke up the next morning and found out that the Cubs had won. And so that night we watched the final inning, and it was great for me because I knew that they had won.
Yeah.
And that was a way that I think Mark was including me and connecting with me, understanding a little bit about, you know, who I am and how I relate to sports. And that to me is when sports is at its best.
Yeah.
When it brings people together. And again, you know, if the way you approach sports separates you from people, that's probably not the best understanding of sports. Mm-hmm. I hear stories of families that cannot watch games together because they have different loyalties. Mm-hmm. You know, in my family, we're from Texas. We have a variety of different teams that we connect to because we are all from different regions and go to different schools. And I can say with confidence that there is not a college rivalry that would keep us from choosing a sport over family. Yeah. And at the end, we can tease each other. We can have fun. And we can rub it in if our team wins. At the end of the day, we are family, and that is what we choose. Yeah. So I think that that's one of the indications that at the end of the day, if relationships are more important than any sporting event, then we have the perspective that is going to let it be a game and not become our life.
Yeah, that's very helpful, actually.
You can actually have a perfect scenario, which I have with my wife, Cindy, because she'll watch games with me,
yeah,
and get equally invested in the game,
yeah,
cheering for the same team and all that, you know, and it's kept us together for 32 years.
Well, it makes me think of, I mean, I know recently the Loyola had some good years. Mm-hmm. Your son went there, and I know you were excited when they, I forget the gal's name, Sister something, that was always there with the players. Where the players would always kind of...
Sister Jean.
Would, they'd give her a high five when they left the court or before they came on the court. And that was kind of cool to see those experiences.
Absolutely. And again, I love my son. My son went to Loyola. I root for Loyola. I have a son that goes to the University of Texas. I love the University of Texas because I love my son.
Yeah.
That's the connection that I have. And so... that's why my brackets are filled with random teams, but they represent all of the relationships that I have.
Well, you might have a better chance this year with the University of Texas.
Well, as valiantly as I tried to cut this podcast off 5 minutes ago.
We just get talking sports and it just never stops.
This is what happens when we talk sports.
But and we didn't get intervened on too much by
your No, he really held back. So, but we want to thank you for joining us today. Thanks for watching the podcast. We hope that this conversation has been a benefit to you as well. We hope that if any of these issues have opened your eyes to your need to reach out for the help that we give here at Faithful and True, we invite you to visit our website, faithfulandtrue.com. where you'll find many resources. You'll find over 400 podcasts like this one. We have an online bookstore with all of the books by Mark and Debbie Laser. And we just invite you to check all of that out. We also invite you to look at our 3-day intensive workshops for men, women, and couples. And if we can be of help to you, please reach out to us. Until then, we hope that this coming week for you will be a week that's filled with many blessings and with great visions.